Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Keep your company in the overnight hours, the wee hours of the morning. My time, where all the debauchery takes place in the Magic Radio Box, taking the sports out of sports radio as we are heading another day forward now into the new normal, at least for this part of 2020, with no live sporting events, with apologies to WrestleMania and the few things that are taking place. But this is now going to be day number 29. We're almost at magical 30. We love round numbers. 29 is not impressive. 30 will be impressive since the industrial complex of sports went kaput like just about everything else that's normal, or supposedly in air quotes, normal in American life and in many places around the world. Because of what's going on. So we'll got you covered here. Now, I wanted to get back into the baseball narrative. We have had a day. You and I have had a day to digest what some have said is a very unorthodox plan. I think you'd have to agree with that, to play the 2020 baseball season being considered. And it's because of the coronavirus, baseball sounding like it's willing to do whatever it takes to play, although they were taking a step back because of some of the punches they were taking, some of the shrapnel that was coming their way after the plan went around the social media pages on Monday. Well, on Tuesday, baseball was in like, well, we're not sure we're actually going to do this. But we talked about it a little bit on the show about the possibility of playing in empty ballparks in the Grand Canyon State. We had mentioned the basic outline. You probably have seen this or heard about this by now, but maybe not. But to update, as we predicted, they are meeting with resistance. There are two camps that are pushing back on this proposal that baseball is considering to start either in May or in June playing some games. And the "it can't be done" crowd, they are banging the drum. It cannot be done. Don't do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. A lot of those people out there. And then you mix those with the "it's never going to be safe enough" crowd. These are that we should all stay in our houses forever and never resume normal activity. That this is the way it is and you are screwed. Make sure you buy a nice collection of masks. So you got those people also. And there's others, but those are the main two groups that I've seen that have pushed back against baseball. So let's discuss. All right, the question, what are the actual odds that Major League Baseball goes forward with what is still a loose plan to play some form of a Fugazi baseball season in the state of Arizona, or at least start in the state of Arizona? Now, I'm going to set the odds at minus 150. Now, I'm being optimistic. That implies that there's a 60% chance that this is going to happen. It also implies there's a 40% chance that the "it can't be done" and "it's never going to be safe enough" crowd win out. My observations, you've got smoke, the Christmas tree bill, and jumpstart. And we will lock all these things together. Now, number one. I love the orchestra. We have been hearing some version of this kind of plan for at least a month. I brought it up on the show. People I know who get paid to work in baseball had said that this was one of the things being considered right away when baseball had shut down spring training, and they said this could go on for a while. This is one of the things they were thinking about. Now, originally, if you've listened to the show, you know that I told you what I had heard was the plan, and Scott Boras repeated it later, that they would have half the teams in Florida, half of them in Arizona. But in the latest incarnation, everything would be embedded in the state of Arizona, the Grand Canyon State. And while there are certainly some rather large mountains that must be moved to get to that point, I am optimistic. I'm generally a pessimist, but I'm optimistic that we will see some form of baseball. Realistically, not until June. We still got a long way to go till then. Now, why is that? I there is too much smoke here for there not to be fire. Major League Baseball sees this as a tremendous opportunity. And frankly, they think that this, for their profession, will lead to a renaissance in baseball. Now, that's a different conversation. But the people, and listen, I'm no different than you. I'm locked up. I'm in a remote studio here. I leave my house once a week. I go to, once every 2 weeks now. I made a Costco run last week. And then occasionally, like maybe once this week, I might go to Walmart to buy a couple of things. But that's about it. That's about it. Other than that, I'm just like you. I got cabin fever, and I'm looking around trying to find things. Now, fortunately, I have the show, or I'd be completely stir crazy if I didn't have this. But I'm just like you. I'm clamoring for things to entertain me. And even those that aren't baseball aficionados will be open-minded about giving baseball a chance. That's the argument, right? That's the argument is, hey, if we can do this and we can do it safely, this will be wonderful for the sport of baseball as an industry, and it would be great. And it's hard to disagree with that. From a marketing standpoint, to be the only game in town would be massive. It would be providing entertainment all day long, and people that haven't watched baseball in a long time would probably consider watching baseball because they're tired of watching. They've watched everything on Netflix. You can only watch Tiger King so many times, and you're looking for something else to watch. Now, the second thing here. So Rob Manfred, now let's be honest, Rob Manfred, the initial plans that are being tossed around, he is looking to sneak in some rather radical plans. And there's a term, using the Christmas tree bill strategy. That's a page out of Congress's playbook. But buried in this reporting about baseball considering a plan to play the season in Arizona, you got to read the fine print. Because they're also considering some rather radical plans that include using an electronic strike zone. Whoa, that was buried in the story. Claiming they would be doing this to allow social distancing, protecting the home plate umpire from having to lean over. If you watch a baseball game, you know the home plate umpire is right in the back of the catcher. And so under this plan, they would use, or at least they're thinking about, using robot umpire. Or having somebody in the press box watching the monitor to determine whether it's a ball or strike, or just go completely robotic. Of course, if the umpire is wearing a mask and gloves, you could argue that the umpire is okay and you're fine. But this is a backhanded way to expedite robot umpires if they go forward with that. Now, if you're not familiar with the term Christmas tree bill, this is from the United States Congress. And if you follow the political theater, you should know about this, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, because it is a classic political move. And it refers to, you know, how they put like a budget bill and they're like, all right, we have the U.S. budget. And then they put in unrelated amendments, floor amendments into that budget bill. They're known as riders. And that term refers to a proposal or some piece of legislation that is subject to, you know, each member of Congress gets to put, it's like a Christmas tree. They each put their own little ornament on the bill that they pass, and they call that the Christmas tree bill. And so Rob Manfred is considering a bunch of these riders to put to his Christmas tree bill. For example, no mound visits. Baseball has tried to get rid of this and limit mound visits for some time. One of the proposals that I have seen says that there would be no mound visits from the catcher or the pitching coach. Seven-inning doubleheaders. This is another thing that baseball has been tossing around in hushed tones way before the coronavirus was even a thing we knew about. We were all just drinking Corona beer back then. Regular use of microphones by players during games. This was tested in spring training. It was critically acclaimed. So baseball sees this as an opportunity to expedite that, which is not a bad thing. These are all options that baseball has considered implementing, some form of them, for many years. And this is an opportunistic situation, taking the coronavirus pandemic and say, all right, well, we got to play, the conditions are different, so why don't we experiment? And we'll treat this season like it's a little bit of a petri dish, and we'll see how it goes. All right, final point. So Major League Baseball's obviously got its hands full. They already got a bunch of blowback in the first 24 hours since this story got out in the sports media world. And there's a number of people that have their minds made up. And I deal with these people. I have people in my life like this that think that it's completely unsafe to do anything and that you can't have anything other than the bare essentials. And baseball's making a huge mistake here, and they'll have hell to pay, and it'll never work. And I hear these people all the time in my life. There's a lot of these pig-headed people who just won't accept that any of this stuff that's non-essential. Obviously, baseball's not essential, but they can't accept the possibility of this happening. The powers that be have to hold a number of educational, shall we say, joint news conferences. They got to work with health officials. I mean, that's the way this has to be done. And they said that they are baseball talking with health officials and that this is a plan that they would have to sign off on. But it's really a battle of perceptions, right? Because you have to change people's minds. Baseball is going to have to do this. They got to fight the PR battle because this will, it's actually a good first step to get commerce back in one form or another. I know that's wrong. You shouldn't say that. We shouldn't care about the economy. But we're going to have to, at some point, jumpstart this thing back up again. You can't live like this forever. And I'm not saying it's going to happen right now. It might not happen next month. But over the next couple of months, there's got to be a point, and whether it's baseball or some other industry, that gets things back and people go back to their jobs. And that's, there's a lot of people that are out of work right now. Hopefully can get jobs when the economy jump starts again. But someone has to be the first non-essential business to get going again. And it's going to be difficult because a lot of people have made their minds up. They watch the news every day. They get scared out of their minds watching the news. And they are convinced that this is the way it's going to be the rest of our lives. And those are the people that baseball is going to have to convince, and whatever sport comes back first, that it's not that way, and it's not going to be that way forever. But why not baseball? Listen, each team is set up, all these sports teams are going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars and ticket sales that will be lost, and they can't get that back. But remember, TV is the sugar daddy, and they are the ones that pay the bills, right? So you got to look out for the sugar daddy, which is television. And we'll see how it plays out. Now, someone pointed out the weather in Phoenix is oppressively hot. And in the summertime, well over 110 degrees in July and August, parts of June, into September, all past 100 degrees on average, oppressively hot. And so how would they play these games? They'd have to stagger them at odd hours. Plus, you've got a time zone situation where you can't play the games at night, at 7 o'clock at night, local time in Phoenix. That's 10 o'clock on the East Coast. That most people aren't like us. They're not up all night. So you'd likely have a Red Sox-Yankee game would be played at like 9 in the morning, local time in Phoenix. It doesn't really matter what time you play the game local time because you're not inviting fans under this scenario to go to the games, which would be noon Eastern or even 10 a.m. And then you try to avoid the hottest part of the day, and hopefully these games will go under like 3 hours, and then you can get done at noon and then take 3 hours off and then play another game later on at night. And there's only one stadium that has a dome there. That's a Diamondback Stadium, and they could use that. They have artificial turf, so they could play multiple games there. But you could also see some of the West Coast teams like the Dodgers, A's, Giants, Mariners, Padres, Angels play games that would start at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Local time, again, to beat the heat if you got to play outdoors. They don't have to worry about accommodating fans, per se.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I hope you're doing well, and I'm glad you have chosen to spend some time with us in the Magic Radio box here, because we are not going to act irrationally at all. That's not why you tune into the show. You do not want to hear an overreaction, unless that's exactly why you tune in to the show. So one of the themes here as we discuss sports without sports is a lot of chatter the last couple days about not just baseball, but basketball and hockey coming back in one form or another and having some form of competition, which they'd have to work with the health officials to do that. And one of the great debates in our little sports world is how to handle the return of games, right? Under the current setup, the tentative plans that are being tossed around for some time in late May or early June, would be to have athletic competition return to America, but with conditions. The biggest condition, as we have talked about, if you were with us last hour, was empty stadiums, empty venues, and arenas. And until social distancing requirements are lifted, that is going to be the only plausible way to have these professional sports leagues come back and compete. And there was a poll conducted by a global communications company that somebody had sent me a link to this week. And in that poll, 45% of people that claimed they were sports fans across all age ranges said that all professional sports should be postponed until fans are able to attend games. 45%. It's not a majority, right? 55% did not agree with that, but 21%, only 21% of people that responded said they would be okay with games resuming without fans in attendance. 17% of people feel like professional sports should just completely be canceled and in their entirety, and we should not have professional sports at all. That should just go away for 2020 and just maybe for good, not come back. Former Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent. Let's be honest. I like Faye. Faye's old school, right? Literally, in more ways than one. Faye Vincent is old school. I've interviewed him before, back when I did shows during the day. He's 81 years old now, Faye Vincent. He was briefly the commissioner of baseball. And his quote on the idea of baseball playing without fans, he says, quote, "My sense is that it divorces the game from the fans except via television, and that's a mistake." Faye Vincent opined, the former commissioner said, "I don't think a televised game without an audience and without fan reaction is a great idea. I think it's born in desperation," he said. And Vincent went on to declare that he's a traditionalist and a bit of a romantic. Well, isn't that nice? And he thinks that we ought to wait until we can present the game in its best light. Close quote from Faye Vincent. All right, let us discuss the question. And it's really the only question that matters. Will you watch these games being played if the stadiums are empty? We did a bit last hour in China. A team from Taiwan, a Chinese professional baseball league, they've announced when the season opens on April 11th, which is just, 3 days away now, they will have robot mannequin fans and cardboard cutouts in the crowd. And it's wild. I retweeted a photo if you want to check that out if you're new to the show this hour. You should see, it's pretty crazy. So the question, though, at hand, will you watch games played in empty stadiums and arenas? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now, for me, you know, but I admit I'm biased. I mean, my job revolves around sports. So, hell, I'd watch pretty much anything at this particular point. But I've got casino lingo for the birds and the cash cow. And we will connect all these things together, and we're going to make some old-school Baba Ganoush is what we're going to make, okay? Now, first of all, if we had a choice, I think we could all agree on this, we would all rather watch games the way that we know them to be, with fans screaming, hollering, rich people behind home plate not watching the game, eating the all-you-can-eat buffet in the ritzy area, people in the bleachers just heckling the crap out of whoever's in the outfield. Every man, woman, and child would rather have that. That's a sports person. But it's that communal part, right? And that's one of the reasons that we find being a supporter of this stuff attractive. And to me, that's very straightforward, the communal aspect. Now, listen, a lot of people never go to games. Maybe you only go once in a while. But if you've been to a game, even if it's like a high school game, you know what it's like in high school. You can imagine what it's like at the professional level. You can't undersell the human element. So I'm not sitting here saying that this is a great idea, but I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. Some athletes, there's two types. There's the kind that feed off the noise, the positivity, the crowd going wild and cheering for them. And then there's the other kind of athlete that would rather play in a hostile environment where people are booing them and throwing raspberries at them, and they want to silence, the silent assassin, that type. I'm more that type. I like to shut up the BS. But those are the two types. And so 2020 and what's going on right now in the real world, this has presented a very odd, unique kind of situation. And so you have to adapt. We've been saying this for the last month. You have to adapt to your surroundings. And if you don't adapt to your surroundings, well, you're up poop creek and you don't have a paddle. Think of this in terms of casino lingo. If you're a gambler, you know, the casinos are all closed right now. But if you're a card player, we got some professional poker players in Vegas that listen to this show on a regular basis. If you're a card player, you play the cards you're dealt. That's how it works at the casino. And guess what? Spoiler alert, that's how it works in the game of life. Whatever is put in front of you, you find a way to make it into a winning hand. And it's not, whether we're talking about sports or whatever the case is going on for you, and I'm not here to give you a Tony Robbins-like motivational speech, but if the only options are to either cancel the season or to play under abnormal conditions, and therefore everyone gets to make their money and the players' salaries aren't completely cut and they're willing to do it and they sign off on it, then you take the latter. Whatever cards you're dealt, you choose to see not the negative, but what you can do to make it into a winning hand, right? It seems like too many people have this defeatist attitude. I was ranting about this in an earlier episode of the show, but it's like they're willing to accept. They get dealt a joker in their car. I got a joker. Well, that's the one you disregard. You don't pay attention to that. You give that one back. Now, secondly, in terms of game presentation, this is going to be an involving process. I remember when there was that civil unrest in Baltimore a few years ago and the Orioles played the White Sox in an empty Camden Yards. And I watched the game, watched it on my computer, and it was painful. Players could hear the radio television announcers calling the game from the press box on the field because there was no noise there, and everything was echoing around the empty seats in the stadium, and that was a one-off situation. It was a White Sox-Orioles game several years back. This would be 15 games a day, possibly up to 4.5 months of 15 games a day in empty stadiums. And as a one-man think tank, an advisory council to professional sports, I have some suggestions. I have some theories. First of all, for the birds, and take a page out of the old Atlanta Falcons playbook. Atlanta, one of several NFL teams over the years that got dinged for pumping in what? Artificial crowd noise back when they used to play at the Georgia Dome. And so desperate times call for desperate measures. You have to use some nuance here. People at Major League Baseball, and they're going to have the marketing freedom, these people, to add some bells and whistles and literally and figuratively try to create an environment where it's not as horrific as it could be without crowd being there. And I would leave the murmur. You know that murmur when you go into a ballpark and you hear the people breathing and chatting in the background? There's that constant sound at a stadium or an arena. You should at the very least have that pipe through or something else, whether it's some kind of music or not. But you have to find a way to combat what is going to be a sterilized environment of an empty stadium or arena. And if not crowd noise, like I said, you've got to find some kind of audio distraction, whether it's some kind of music in the back, something to mitigate the dreary, lifeless environment of these stadiums without life, without the fans creating the energy. Now, final thought. So Major League Baseball, the NBA, and NHL are all right now debating what they can get away with, what is allowed. They're working with government officials from the different health organizations to try to figure out what the best path to go down is. And yeah, it's a challenge, absolutely. Will it be an adjustment? Clearly, it's going to be an adjustment. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. You would be providing some entertainment. Not to everybody. There's a lot of people who don't like sports, don't care about sports. People don't like basketball. People don't like baseball, hockey, whatever. Wouldn't watch. But for a lot of people that do love sports, those that are suffering from cabin fever, this would be a nice distraction. And more importantly, for the business of these sports leagues, you're protecting the cash cow. And you must protect the cash cow, the golden goose, at all costs. right? That's television. These sports leagues are being run. They are actors in a television show. The TV overlords are the ones that keep the monster alive, and so you got to take care of the sugar daddy is what you got to take care of. Now, in terms of risk, again, they're working with the health officials, and this won't happen until the testing they have, which is supposedly some of it's already here. It's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks for more people, where it's like a 5-minute test. You'll know within 5 minutes whether or not you've got this or not. And nothing is foolproof. Nothing's 100%. And if whatever league starts up, there's certainly a chance that somebody ends up testing positive for the coronavirus after these players go into quarantine. And players would still become possibly sick, but there's a risk. But you have to weigh that, and you have to fight, as we talked about earlier in the show, the paranoia and anxiety that a lot of people just think they've got this defeatist attitude, and they just think that this is going to be the way it is for the rest of time, and this is the new normal, and bad thing happened, and it's not going to change at all. And they do, well, this bad thing could happen, that bad good thing could happen, and they do that whole thing, and you twist yourself into a pretzel. You absolutely twist yourself into a pretzel under that situation. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to opine, you are more than welcome at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Our guy, No Help, from Minnesota, he had a pretty good point. And I got a bunch of people that have been sending me messages, so I don't have it in front of me. But I remember the gist of it. And it was like, since they have animatronics now at these stadium, or holograms is what he used. He used the word holograms. If they really want to crank it up at these empty stadiums, they can bring back, like in the front row, like dead celebrities. Like you go to a Timberwolves game, and if there's no fans there, you could have like a hologram of Prince sitting in the front row at a T-Wolves game, right? You could do that. The Astros could have Adolf Hitler there. They could have him. The Night Stalker. Charlie Manson could be at the Astro games, right? We could all bring them back. Who else, Roberto? Am I forgetting it?
Richard Ramirez.
That's the Night Stalker. That's right. Richard Ramirez is there. Aaron Hernandez. We could bring him back. He could be out. He could be an Astros fan in this hologram world that we're living in. Sure. Why not? Absolutely. We could have Frank Ted Sinatra Bundy sing the national anthem. You know, hologram. Why not?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, don't take my blood pressure right now, but Koopa Loop, what do we have for the third degree? What do we have today?
For the record, Ben, I could hold a note way longer than Real Talk.
Don't do that again. I'll go off the air again.
Don Nelson was interviewed earlier this week when he said that he hopes that Greg Popovich coaches long enough to surpass his record for wins. Now, Pop is currently 63 wins behind Nelson. Do you think he'll get there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes on this. I mean, we're only, as you said, talking about 63 wins. The Spurs, they're not a great team right now. They're a bad team. So you figure it's going to take a couple of years at least for him to get to that number. But the way I look at it, Greg Popovich can coach in San Antonio as long as he wants. He's got Supreme Court justice job security. And the second thing, while Greg Popovich will never admit to really caring about the record, it's kind of like running the first 25.2 miles of the New York Marathon and then saying, I don't really care about the final mile of the race. That would be silly. Nobody would do it. He's human. This is his profession. He's been very good at it. It's more probable than not that he coaches just long enough to break the record and then fades off into the oblivion and goes and lives near Don Nelson in Maui and smokes weed every day. All right, next.
Well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame revealed their picks for the NFL's all-decade team on Monday, and there was at least one player that felt snubbed. Defensive back Joe Hayden thought that he should have made the cut, but he didn't. Do you think he should have?
All right, so I saw this going around. I'm not on Team Hayden here, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the reason Joe Hayden had more passes defended in the decade. This is the stat he brought up. He had more passes defended than the other guys. The reason was because teams were not afraid to throw against Joe Haden. And he had more opportunities to make plays. That's the flaw in his argument. Haden, listen, he had a good career. He's had a productive NFL career, but his numbers are misleading. He never reached the level of intimidation that some of those other guys that made the all-decade team had. And the second thing here, these lists, I didn't do a monologue on this yesterday. I could have done. I know some of the other shows did, but these are beauty contests. Joe Haden played in Cleveland. And then he played in Pittsburgh, which is a high-profile team, but he did not garner Joe Haden the type of hype that guys like Darrell Revis, Revis Island, Richard Sherman, and the from the Legion of Boom, and even Patrick Peterson in Arizona got. Haden lacked in that department. All right, next.
Well, it was reported that both the Rams and the Chargers will be featured on Hard Knocks this summer, assuming that we have a training camp. Ben, if this all goes to plan, which team do you think will make more interesting television?
Well, you know, Koopaloop, I'm a Rams apologist and a Rams homer, but I'm a truth teller, is what I am. And first of all, I'm betting that we will get Hard Knocks. I think I'll start with that because they'll be using a lot of robotic cameras, drones to capture the footage with boom microphones. It's going to be a very non-invasive reality TV show, so I'll say that. The second thing here, my money is on the Chargers actually being better television because they are either going to sign Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, or they're going to snatch one of the top blue-chip quarterbacks in the 2020 draft later this month, and so that will be compelling because you're going to have a quarterback controversy in training camp with Tyrod Taylor and quarterback X. And plus, you've got life after Phillip Rivers trying to win fans in Los Angeles. The Rams are stuck in this bizarre holding pattern. They've got to swallow the Todd Gurley contract. They do have Jalen Ramsey, who's always entertaining. But it's the Chargers that will be the more compelling watch on a reality TV show. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, I commend you for telling the truth. You passed this edition.
There it is. That is the winner. You can put it on the board. Yes. Now, several of my radio brothers have been checking in here. They heard the dramatic. It was really theater of the mind. Now, I just want you to know that we did not really need to have me do a segment on my phone. We just did that to create the drama. Because seriously. I mean, we're drama tellers here on the radio. But my friend Sports with Coleman, who's up all night in Baltimore, says live radio is fantastic. Well, it's great to be up. My heart was jumping a little bit. That's good. Things can't go right all the time, right? They gotta go wrong every once in a while.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is...
Password.
You idiot.
Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
All right, here we go. This portion of the Ben Maller Show brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. It is time now for Password, the word game of the stars. Who's playing our game here, Koopaloop? Who are our contestants that do we have? Let's see here. I believe Mr. Irrigation. Hello, Mr. Irrigation.
Hey, Ben. Thank you for picking me. It's my favorite game.
All right, you are going to play, and who else, Koopaloop? You want to pick the other caller, Koop? Go ahead.
I guess we'll do Scott from Canada.
All right, Scotty, beam me up, Scotty. What part of Canada are you in, Scott?
I'm just outside of Toronto in Hamilton.
Beautiful. How's life in Toronto and in Hamilton? How's that going for you?
Pretty good. We haven't quite hit the levels of auto masks like you were talking about in Los Angeles there, but people are definitely being cautious, doing their best to social distance
and whatnot.
Well, that's
good. Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that point for you and you'll be okay. We hope that's the case. All right, very good. Mr. Irrigation, who would you like to play with, Mr. Irrigation?
Well, Ben, I want to win. I'm picking you.
All right, we're going to win. Very good. Scotty in Canada, in Hamilton, who do you want to play with there outside Toronto?
I'll go with fellow Broncos fan, Koopaloop.
All right. Koopa Loop. That's the matchup. All right, very good. We have a list of words 1 to 10. And they are all numbered. You cannot see the list. If you can, you're cheating. Mr. Irrigation, pick a number 1 to 10, please.
I will pick number 5.
Number 5. All right, here we go. The clue is, let's see here. I don't know. Which one do I want to do here? Yeah, I got some options. Let's go with... I could do the Mahler maneuver. No, I'm not going to do that. All right, how about... confectionery.
Candy.
Yeah, there you go. Good job by you. Wow, I got lucky on that. Boy, if you were drinking right now, Mr. Irrigation, that would have been a different answer. All right, you're up next. Scotty, pick a number 1 to 10, but not 5.
7.
All right, Coop.
All right, let's see. Let's go... what can I do for this? I'm going to go with arbitrary.
Decision?
No.
No. All right. Let's go with...
What did Coop say?
I said arbitrary.
Arbitrary. Yeah, let's go with unplanned.
Spontaneous?
No, no. All right. Go ahead, Coop. Down to 8 points.
Non-sequenced.
Random?
Yeah!
There you go. All right, clearly I saw the Coopers.
I was just throwing S at the wall at that point.
All right, 8 points, so it's 10-8. We've still got the lead back to Mr. Irrigation. Pick a number, not 5, not 7, but anything else between 1 and 10.
Number 1.
Number 1. All right. This should be easy. Let's go with... All right. Judiciary.
Judge?
Yeah, good job by you. Good job by you. It's amazing when I have this confidence.
Mr. Irrigation's on PEDs or something.
That's awesome. I've used big words, Eddie, and they never work on password, but they've worked today. All right, go ahead over to you, Scotty. You're right behind us there, but you need this one. Pick a number.
I'll go number 10.
Number 10. All right, quickly, Coop.
Let's go, Scott, let's go unmarried.
Single.
Yes. All right, we're in it. We're in it.
All right, back to... Mr. Irrigation, I don't even know if you have time to be honest.
Yeah, hurry up, Mr. Irrigation.
Okay.
Pick a number.
Number
two.
All right, I'm going to use the Mahler maneuver. All right, Mahler maneuver. Scrambled.
Egg.
Yeah, there it is. Scrambled eggs. Good job, Mr. Irrigation. Thank you, Scotty. Outstanding. And that's it, Koopa Loop. I have won. Password. You get a golden ticket, Mr. Irrigation. Scotty, I hope you have a good day today. But boy, that feels good. You know, that's like the old days playing these game shows. You know, we've had some really terrible, dumb contestants recently. But that, Mr. Irrigation.
Got a murder, gotta go.
It's a legend right there. Man, is he good?